Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody as we're coming in for worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, and check the appropriate boxes, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, when you're done, if you wouldn't mind, send that pew pad back to where it got started. We ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you very much. Several things listed under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Just make note of those things. Including our pictorial directory pictures. Is that right? I don't know. We're taking pictures to put them in a book, and we want yours. So we would love for you to be a part of that. There's some information there of when those sessions will be. Also, we are in July, so we have youth camp coming up. We have sports camp coming up the week after that. Many things that are happening, so we hope that you and your family will be a part of those opportunities. Mr. Roby, come on. I'm going to move the microphone so you can do an announcement here.
Thank you, Jeff.
I got skills. There you go.
Right. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Go ahead. The announcement I have is super important. In fact, to be sure I say everything, I've written it, so here we go. Kiwanis Club Blood Drive. This is a joint project of the four Kiwanis Clubs in Forsyth County. That's the Winston-Salem Kiwanis Club, the Twin City Kiwanis Club, the Kernersville Kiwanis Club, and the Clemens Kiwanis Club. This will be on Friday, July the 28th. At the best place in the whole wide world. You know where that is? College Park Baptist Church. Okay? And we're going to have it in Smith Hall, and it's going to be from 10 o'clock in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon. Showing up is as a walk-in is perfectly okay. But if you would like to sign up online, it'll probably make the process a little quicker. You're never too old to donate blood. You have to be at least 16 years old. Now, there's a critical shortage in Forsyth County, and all the blood that the Red Cross receives now goes directly to the hospitals. They have no supply of blood there, so your help is going to be greatly appreciated. If you have questions concerning the blood drive, you might want to talk with Gary Elkins. He is one of the ones in charge of this. Now, during the time that we have the blood drive, we will give participants a chance to be, if they're 18 to 44 years of age, to put their names on the Be the Match registry. The Be the Match registry is something that is near and dear to my heart. As most of you folks know, my daughter Julie passed away in 2010 with blood cancer. So this project that we've been doing with the Winston-Salem Kiwanis Club in her memory has been going on since 2008. Please contact me if you have questions concerning signing up for Be the Match registry. We really appreciate your consideration and your support for this project. You know, it's a very worthwhile project to help people in need. I want to thank College Park Baptist Church for allowing us to do that on July the 28th. Thank you a bunch. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jeff. And if I'm not mistaken, the best part is you can have snacks. Yeah. So come and give blood, save a life. There is a critical shortage in our area. Thank you for participating in that. Also, we are collecting toothpaste that's going into for the month of July for our prison ministry. We hope that you're able to, if you're able to be a part of that, there is a collection box as you enter the church. Any other announcements? Choir, you got any announcements? Doesn't the choir look good this morning? Yeah. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're so thankful for your presence in worship this day. If you're a guest, you gave us a bit of information on the pew pad a moment ago. We'd like to give something back to you. So just raise your hand right where you are. And the guest, we want to give something to you. The ushers are coming now. And they want to give something to you. So just right where you are, raise your hand. And the ushers will come back down the aisles and they'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. I don't know about you, but I am thankful this morning. We don't serve a God who just shows up when he wants to or when it's convenient. We serve a God who never leaves his people. Think about that. He has never left you. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a precious gift. His presence in this place. I am thankful we serve a God who is with us on the surgery table and the picnic table, the Thanksgiving table, and just the everyday table. I'm thankful this morning we serve a God who is alive and well. He sits on the throne. And I pray he's on the throne of my life. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We can never say it enough. I can never say it enough. For how many times have I failed you? How many times have I sinned against you just this morning? And yet you have not left me. Your love for me, for us, is greater than what we do or say or what we don't do. We are your children. You are our Father, a loving, caring, nurturing Father. May we seek you with our face and with our heart. May today be the day we seek you with all that we are. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Good morning. We'll wait till all the kids come on down. I know I saw one coming from the balcony. Yes, sir. You need some toothpaste? You don't have enough at your house? Oh, you're bad. Yeah, well, he doesn't like that other one. Okay, so it's good to see everybody. We're going to hook your dad up with some toothpaste, okay? But I've got a question. Have you ever, I know sometimes we do this. I've never done this in children's time, so we'll see how this goes. So what happens, right? You go, and it's time to go to bed, and you have to brush your teeth, right? And you go, and you squeeze out the toothpaste. Now, but wait a minute. I've got too much. I want to put the toothpaste back. Can you do that? Can you do? Oh, but I want to put this toothpaste back. How do I put this toothpaste back? In the bottle.
No way.
Why not? You scrape it into the bottle. And it gets all over the bottle. It doesn't go back in. Oh. You don't want this. Well, don't worry. I'm already regretting this too. So it's okay. So here's something that happens. Everybody crisscross applesauce. Look this way for me. Here's something that happened. Have you ever said something and you went, ooh, I shouldn't have said that? Or have you ever done something and you went, I shouldn't have done that? Don't we? All the time. I didn't prod that. That just came out freely. I didn't. Isn't that? But when we say something that hurts somebody's feelings, we can't take it back, can we? What can we do? The only thing we can do is, that's right, apologize, and try to do better next time. What do you think, Rebecca? Have you ever said something, oh, I shouldn't have said that? Yeah. We do this all the time. We have a new preacher this morning, Mr. Matt. You might know him from the gym, but he does a whole lot more than that. And this morning, he's going to talk about how many times that you and I do things that we don't want to do. And we can't, the only way, we can't put it back again. Everybody look this way. Everybody look this way. I'll wait till everybody's listening and looking. We have to, every day, make a choice. Are we going to do things that we want to do or do things that Jesus would want us to do? Sometimes we can't put the toothpaste back in the bottle. We have to be careful about what we say and about what we do to see if it does what Jesus wants. So, I want you to think about the next time before you say something that you shouldn't or do that you shouldn't, think. Is this what God wants me to do? Let's pray. God, thank you so much that when we say things that we shouldn't say or do things that we shouldn't do, you offer us forgiveness. There's no way for us to take back what we said or did, but we can try to do it more like Jesus next time. That's our goal, and that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Back to your seats now. Ministry of God's Word comes from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 14. You'll find it on page 447 in the Pew Bible there in front of you if you do not have your Bible. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 14. And I'll be reading out of the New International Version. A psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made, and all your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Will you pray with me? Father, we realize today that around our world, There are people who are sick, who are struggling, struggling financially, mentally, emotionally, struggles with family and work and health. We have people in our very midst, whether in the sanctuary or at lunch or in our workplaces or at the gym, or people everywhere we go who are hurting. Father, may we be the light of the world. May we reflect your goodness and your mercy and your grace. May we be a source of inspiration and strength for those around us who are hurting and struggling. Yes, even in the midst of our sinfulness, we rely completely on you to show those who have never felt or experienced or understood your love. May they look to me. May they look to us. May we look to each other for the example of Christ. For the solution to our world's aches and pains and heartache will never be found in a government, will never be found in wealth, will only be found at the cross. For at the cross we are all made equal. For at the cross everything becomes clear. And at the empty tomb we find power. Power to overcome it all through the blood of Christ. May I be. May I be your hands and your feet. May I be your heart to those who would see me. Draw people to yourself. Receive the glory, for you alone are worthy. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you today on a beautiful Sunday morning. We all bring different experiences, different events from this week, different burdens. But Father, we come to this place and we are reminded of how thankful we should be. Father, you have given us so much, and you continue to give to us far beyond what we deserve. And we thank you for that, and we pray that we would be thankful each day, thankful for air in our lungs, for life in our hearts. And Father, we thank you for this body of believers that is willing to serve you and willing to be used by you. Father, help us to be open to always be your vessels to further your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you. whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing to doubt that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing to doubt that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. Lives again. My heart's beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive to joy and destiny. 'Cause you're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing to doubt that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing to doubt that you can't make worthy. You wash me.
Now let's just hope I can't mess this up. Wow. That's an inside joke. There were just comments from the choir there. I'll get to that in a minute. But it's good to be with you today. Raymond, our pastor, as many of you know, is off on vacation, and he'll be back next week, have no fear, to come in and preach the wonderful Romans chapter 8. He left me the doom and gloom from chapter 7. Thank you, Pastor Raymond. So be sure you're back next week so he comes in to save the day, even though Mary just saved the day, I believe. And her little snide joke up here about, do you want me to read, had to do with, there was one minister who works at this church who came here about, I don't know, 13 to 15 years ago as youth minister. And right before a fall retreat worship service, literally right before he was about to preach, he said, hey, will you read this passage of scripture for me? And I said, yeah, sure, I don't mind. You know, I'm in college, I'm going to seminary, I can read scripture, no problem. I didn't pre-read before I said yes. And it was this passage, Romans chapter 7, 15 to 25, and we'll get to that in a moment. But there's a whole lot of I do's, I do not do, I do not want to do, and I butchered it. I absolutely butchered it. So that was Mary's comment up here this morning. Do you want me to read it? Because in the 9 o'clock service, she saved the day and read it for me. But I have practiced and practiced. So not since the 9 o'clock service, but this week. Romans 7, 15 through 25. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree. The law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, raging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul kind of goes through the passage here, and he states the problem is not with God's law, not with the law at all, but it's actually with flesh, with us. Then he goes on to show the real culprit is really not flesh, but it's actually sin living within us. The flesh is weak. The sin, obviously, is evil. Verses 21 to 24 then expresses the person's conflict in a different language. At one level, the person is able to recognize and rejoice in the goodness of God. But at another level, the person sees the war going on inside of themselves, that sin has taken that person captive. You know, the result of that sin, obviously, is hopelessness. And then he sums it up with, who will rescue me from this body of death? And the answer, obviously, a good old church Sunday school answer, is Jesus. You know, in Paul's letter here, he uses I a whole lot. Before we go on, I want you to think about your own life. Think about the times in which you have sinned. The times in which you've messed up, whether that was today, this last week, or previous. Heck, there are times we sin and we don't even know we sin. We are that good at sinning. So right now, I want you to take a few moments and confess your sins to God. So let's pray, and I'll close us. Father, forgive us for giving in to sin. Father, come make us clean. Restore us. We thank you for the power of forgiveness that we have through the gift of your Son. Thank you for your forgiveness. It's in your name we pray. Amen. In preparing for this, you know, I was said quite a bit. I was trying to figure out who is Paul talking about. And so I did a ton of research. And there are several answers, several different perspectives on who Paul is referencing. There's one individual who claims that this does not describe our own Christian experience, but yet it describes Paul's Christian experience. And he's specifically speaking about his own life. The great John Piper comes in to say, no, no, Paul's talking about us. He's talking about how we sin. Obviously, we can relate to that. And there's another individual, David Martin Lloyd-Jones, who served at the Westminster Chapel in London for over 30 years. He says this, Romans 7 proves our sanctification is guaranteed since we've been freed from the law and married to Christ. We are enabled to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and chapter 7 offers a dramatic warning of what happens when we seek sanctification through the law apart from the Holy Spirit. We got to have the Holy Spirit to help us get there. He then goes on to mention that Paul didn't intend to distinguish between the saved and the unsaved, that he was simply painting a hypothetical, imaginary picture of a person who tries to of a man who sees the complete hopelessness of attaining salvation by the law. We have got to have the Holy Spirit to help us get there. You know, and I'm scratching my head reading about all these great theologians and what they say. So I go to another great one, Pastor Raymond Smith, and I said, what do you think? Why are y'all laughing? Well, he said, from my perspective, knowing Paul's journey and how he came from who he was in Saul, he said, I think he's talking about his own life. And he said, what do you think? And I said, Raymond, I don't think it matters. I said, the message is the same for us. He said, there you go. He said, at the end of the day, that's the point. That it's obvious. We are sinners. Each and every one of us. Our agony comes from realizing that our sinful flesh refuses to respond to the requirements of God's law. Those things as Christians that we despise, we do them. Those things as Christians that those things that we want to do to make a difference in this world, we don't do them. Our hearts and our minds tell us to serve God, but our bodies take over. And we find ourselves useless. You know I don't have to tell y'all this since I grew up here, but it's still true today. I'm a sinner. Let's face it. I'm a sinner. We all are. You're a sinner. Yes, I'm calling you a sinner at church. A lot of times we don't like to call ourselves sinners, do we? We don't like to talk about our sins. At church, we would much rather talk about that other person's sin sitting in the pew next to you, right? We've all been there. We've all been guilty of talking about somebody else's sin at church. But Jesus was very clear when he spoke on that. Matthew 7, 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when the whole time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Sin's a real problem. It affects us all, each and every one of us. And the challenge is, sin is, it's complicated. There's no it's complicated, and there is a simple solution, but we can't accomplish that by ourselves. Sin is beyond our comprehension. We don't understand it. We cannot understand it. But the great thing is, we don't have to understand it. We don't understand why God loves us, but yet he still does. There's a story of this homosexual man that was speaking to a group of ministers at one point, and he said this. He said, do not try to understand, and please do not try to identify with me in terms of my homosexuality. You cannot and should not understand. You do not need to understand. Identify with me on the level that each and every one of us struggle with sin due to our flesh. You know, he's absolutely right. Whatever your sins are, the solution's the same. The solution is not to be found in understanding the sin or why you do it, but the solution is to be found in Christ. You know, there is an intense struggle that goes on inside each and every one of us. That war inside is raging. And you know, conversion to Christ doesn't stop the battle. Sometimes, in a lot of people's lives, when they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, they learn about all these new problems they didn't realize they had before. It's true. We think, hey, you know, come to Christ and all is well. In the end, all is well. But then we realize, gosh, how terrible of a person am I? Before salvation, we were not opposed to sin. We lived in it. We loved it. We were a slave to sin. Before our conversion, we were actually opposed to God. We were in a battle against Him until we finally said yes to Him. But you know, at church, some of us try to act like we don't sin. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we do not have any sin, we are deceiving ourselves and are not being truthful to ourselves." None of us are perfect. There was only one perfect man. And thankfully, we have His help. But until we hate sin, we're not going to turn from it. We have to despise it. Our flesh, like Paul's, is naturally opposed to God. We're opposed to His law, and we're opposed to anything righteous. We are sinful creatures. Our flesh can become sin sanctuary if we allow it to. Just look at the world around us. It's falling apart. The world is sin sanctuary. What we have to do is choose Christ. Every morning of every day, we have to wake up and choose to follow Him. Luke 9:23 says, "And He said to all, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." You know, there's an idea in church that we've all probably said before. You need to ask Jesus into your heart, right? That's not biblical. It's not a one-time thing. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, ask Jesus into your heart. It says to deny yourself and daily follow Him. It's not a one-time choice. It's an everyday. Really, every second of every day, we have to choose Christ. Without Christ, we are prisoners of our own flesh. Deep within ourselves, we desire to do good, yet sin still wins if we allow it to. As I said earlier, sin is complicated. The solution, though, is extremely simple. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to attempt to understand it to solve the problem. We simply have to ask for help. When most people hear the word sin, we think of individual laws that we break, right? We think of the worldly perspective of sin. What Paul is saying here, though, is in his basic understanding of sin, it's a power. It's a force. It's the other side, the devil. Great thing for us, the battle's been won. The fight's over. Jesus defeated death. Jesus paid the price for each and every one of our sins. And He told us what we had to do. "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." You know, there was a gap in our life that Jesus came to fulfill. We just simply have to ask for His help and to rely on Him. You know, in the world in which we live today, as I've mentioned, it says yes to sin all the time. Yes, yes, yes. Sin, sin, sin. People say this world's getting to be an awful place. The world's been an awful place for a long time. Amen. Nothing's changed about who we are as sinners. Heck, God destroyed the earth. God did it again. You know, hey, we're sinners. We have not changed. We'll keep on being sinners until we choose every second of every day to seek Christ. After one person becomes a Christian, there's an intense struggle that goes on between good and evil. We just have to choose Christ during that struggle. You know, in I found comfort through my research. I know Raymond references Dr. Talbert an awful lot, and I was actually had one of his books on my shelf, and the title of it was Romans, so I had to look at it preparing for this. And inside there was this excerpt from a pope, an autobiography of Pope John the 23rd, I believe it was. And he said this during his journey prior to becoming pope. He said, "The good Jesus sees, I have no other desires than to serve him, and yet I still fall, and so frequently." He later on said, "I foresee more backsliding, but they will be against my will, O Jesus, against my will. Today I've been looking back over the progress this month to see how my spiritual life is faring. I've made progress, to be sure, but very little. In fact, I am still a sinner and very slow to reform." After becoming pope, he said, "I am very far from attaining this act of holiness. In fact, although my desire and will to succeed in this area are wholehearted and determined, I still fail." We're created sinners. We're going to keep on sinning. Let's face it. That's not our goal. Our goal is to do just the opposite. But yet we still find ourselves sinning. But thanks be to God who provide a refuge, a sanctuary, an escape from that sin through the gift of His Son. Here in a second, we're about to sing hymn number 238. "Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean." Aren't you thankful we got the Holy Spirit to breathe on us until we're clean? I'm tickled to death. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for leaving with us the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us and to breathe on us until we're clean. Father, in our brokenness, we ask that you would shine through and so other people can see you and come to have a relationship with you. Father, help us to do your will, not our own. In your name we pray. Amen.
See you.
We thank you for worshiping with us today. If you have not signed up for the pictorial directory, the sign-ups are out there on the sheet. Please, we want everyone that, even if you're not a member here, but are here on a regular basis, sign up. You're a part of the church family. We're all the same family here. So forget that church membership stuff and sign your name out there. We'd love to have you be a part of our pictorial directory. Also, I believe following the worship service, well, are we still, Miss Rachel, cleaning out the tables are set up outside in the Smith Hall to clean out the kitchen before they go in and do a deep clean this week. So if you can stay for a few moments and are able and willing to help us gut the kitchen real quick, we thank you for your assistance. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Let's have our benediction and then following the response. Pray with me. Father, breathe on us, Lord. Use us to carry out your will, not our own.